It's Mary
and Jenny,
and we came into our identities in our 30s.
This is Queerly,
where we do life in community.
Hi, Jenny.
Hello.
It's actually good to see you.
It's good to see you too. It's been a while since we've recorded, so it's, happy to be back.
Yeah, happy to be back as well. It's definitely been a while with a lot going on, so it's really good to be back recording and talking.
There's definitely a lot going on, and I hope you've been able to get some rest.
I definitely did. We've actually been on a 2 week spring break that has given me a lot of time to myself, and that's always a good thing.
Oh, nice. So what's your joy then, as we're talking about rest and spring break?
That's actually my joy. The fact that I do have the opportunity basically to be able to have a break from work within the school year. It's a joy in itself, because not everyone works in a profession where they can get that time off. And so I'm thankful for that. And it did bring me joy.
Yeah.
What about you, Jenny? What's your joy?
Aww. Let's see. My joy is I recently got scuba certified. So.
Wow.
So that was really cool. The past few weekends I've been doing my dives, and I'm excited. I've been wanting to get scuba certified for years, and I finally did it because I have an upcoming trip to Belize, and my friends convinced me to get certified before then. And I'm so glad.
That's actually exciting. Let me ask, haven't the waters been cold?
Like, very cold.
How are you doing the diving?
Very cold.
Wow, that's
but
admirable.
We have thick wetsuits, and we wear hoods and gloves and boots. So, and even then, with all of that on, being in the water for like 20 minutes at a time is still so cold.
It is. I'm like, wow, that's quite admirable. But like, good for you. I hope you really have a good time when you go to Belize.
Thank you. So today we wanted to really celebrate our trans community. You know, March 31st just passed. And March 31st is the International Transgender Day of Visibility. Every year we honor Trans Day of Visibility to raise awareness about transgender and non-binary people. It's a day to celebrate the lives and contributions of trans people, while also drawing attention to the poverty, discrimination, and violence that the community faces. And, you know, really fighting for a safer and more just future for all trans people. So we wanted to dedicate this episode to our trans community and, you know, learn a little bit more about some historical figures. Take it away, Mary.
Right. I also just want to, you know, just before I get into historical figures that have been trans, I just want to emphasize that being transgender is normal and a valid variation of human experience. And we have to remember that, like, these transgender individuals sometimes may choose to transition, right? Or take steps to affirm their gender identity. But sometimes that's not... There's some people that won't choose to transition, right? Some will choose not to have access to medical or legal transition simply because they can't afford it. Or it's just something they don't want to do. Maybe it's just safer for them to stay the way they are. But that does not make them less of a transgender person. So usually when transgender people, like, choose to transition or to affirm their gender identity, sometimes it's done socially, like informing their friends. Other times it's medical. Other times I think legal, like you have your names changed, like you go through the whole government process or the legal processes to transition your names, to transition your pronouns or gender markers. And this is all valid. But I just wanted to say that this is a normal and valid variation of a human experience.
Yeah.
Now, there's a lot of rhetoric that goes on, and I don't want to repeat it here because this is a place of, like this is a place where we're celebrating our transgender people. But sometimes people say that this is a whole new concept. No, it isn't. And so for me, what I did was go and read on all kinds of people that have existed in time memorial that were actually transgender. Even if transgender is a new word, they didn't have it then. They really didn't have a definition for some of these terms that we have today. And I think, Jenny, in one of our episodes, you did talk about or highlight something you came across whereby it had to do with the beauty of language and how the more it evolves, then you maybe one day will find something that actually fits.
Yeah.
And so I like that today we have different words to describe some of these precious members of our society. So the first and most interesting transgender person that I came across was, and I hope I pronounce this right, even if I don't, I'm sure people will read out about it and figure out what the correct pronunciation is, was Ella Galabas. I hope that's right, Ella Galabas, who was a Roman emperor who reigned from 218 to 222 CE. And I think they came into this role at the age of 14. So what's known about Ella Galabas was that they married both men and women. So obviously that makes them queer. But Ella Galabas was assigned male at birth, but reportedly identified as a woman and insisted on being addressed with feminine titles and pronouns. And based on accounts written by the Roman historians, which describe Ella Galabas as wearing women's clothing, makeup, and marrying men as well. But Ella Galabas married both. And so 218 BCE is like a long time ago, mm-hmm. like a couple of 100 years long time ago. So this was one of the historical figures that I read about, and I was like, okay, this is very interesting. Definitely not a new concept. And there's different, actually, articles that have been written about Ella Galabas. And it's so interesting to me that without them and not having the word trans, there were people that were like, no, I identify as feminine. Please refer to me with feminine pronouns. And I find that that's a beautiful thing. And so the other person that we all know, one of the most well-known activists, was Marsha P. Johnson, who was a civil rights leader and co-founder of STARS, which STARS in full is Street Transvestite Action Revolutionaries. So Marsha was an active advocate against oppression and bigotry after the Stonewall uprisings. And I think if you are in the queer community, you've definitely heard of the Stonewall uprisings. Mm-hmm. And most of the time, Marsha, because it's Marsha P. Johnson, would always say that the P in her name stood for Pay No Mind, which is also actually the name of the documentary about her. So for me, it's admirable having people like, I think a lot of, some of the liberties we enjoy today as queer people were because of people like this that, you know, stood up against oppression, stood up against bigotry. They were like, no, we've got to do something. We've got to create safe spaces for our own people. And to me, such people are admirable and heroes. This is a trans hero who, the reason we enjoy a lot of the privileges we have today was because of the sacrifices of some of these trans personalities. Then the other one that I found absolutely amazing was Wilma Broadmax, who was also known as Little Max. Now, Wilma was born in 1949. I wasn't even born yet, neither was Jenny born. Definitely known as a beloved gospel singer. And the reason they were named Little Max was because of his small size but very powerful singing. So he performed with so many popular gospel groups like the Fire Trumpets, Golden Echoes, Spirit of the Memphis Quartet, and even the South Gospel Singers. Now, interestingly, Little Axe sang into his 70s, and it wasn't even known that he had been assigned female reproductive organs and birth till his death.
Wow.
An autopsy. Till, like, his death. So I think, for me, this highlights the fact that gender is just a construct. like the gender we know in society, like all these gender roles and gender definitions, they're just really like a construct that's just meant to like oppress people that maybe don't fall within those boxes that we create in society. Because if Wilma could perform to the masculine definition of gender and not ever be suspected, it means that it's a construct. It means like we just actually aspire to perform a lot of those roles, or like what they do, or like what they look like, or like things they are supposed to say and whatever. Just social constructs. Then the other one, as always, because I'm African and I like to go back to my roots, was I spend a lot of time on Twitter. I think I say this over and over again. But there's someone with the Twitter handle of Papa Kojo Ampofo that is documenting a lot of queer stories in our history. And so recently they shared a story of an 83-year-old trans woman, like 83 years old in Africa. And it was a story of joy. Like, it was a whole Twitter thread. She was called Fovin, which I think the language is, in their language, it means beauty, in that language. It means beautiful. And the experience was like, in their culture, the dad had four wives. And in their culture, it was seen as a sign of good luck for a beautiful boy who had effeminate features to like be a part of a family, and no one like was frowning upon it or like was excluding them from society. In fact, the dad would always take them like to the markets, and it was always like everyone bought from them just because he was so beautiful. And as they grew older, I think they transitioned into how they felt, which was like the female, you know, physical female representation. Because eventually they became a Sava girl in Accra. Accra is in Ghana. They became a Sava girl in Abba. I used to receive so many tips. Like, no one was like violent or throwing them out or beating them up or anything like that's terrible. Eventually, they also were able to live in New York City, and they have, like, they have a good history or memory of their life as a child. Like, no one was saying, "Oh, you look like a girl, so you know there's something wrong with you." It was just something that was admirable.
Yeah.
So that was actually also enlightening for me, because a lot of the time, especially with a lot of the anti-LGBT laws going around, people are like, no, that's a Western concept. It's just been like imported, but this person is 83 years old.
Yeah.
And talks about a loving family, talks about a loving dad, and talks about a loving community. So that was my way of highlighting people that I thought were significantly trans in our history.
Wow, thank you for that. Thanks for that research and sharing. I definitely learned a lot just now.
It's always mind-blowing when you do some research and then you learn about new things and like things you had no idea. So it's always good actually when we give ourselves like these topics to talk about.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I think it's always important to go to learn about your history, right? And the history of the community. And I like that you pointed out specific people to highlight, to show that, no, there have been trans folks, you know, way before. It's not a new thing, you know, that so many people are painting as like false narratives, like that this is just like a new thing that's just happening now.
I think the new thing is finding words that fit, and even like the words we have today, in probably 20 years there'll even be more words that fit people's identities in that moment.
Yeah, exactly. I love that. Well, yeah, we really want to celebrate our trans community, and it's so important because there are over 1.6 million trans youth and adults across the U.S. and this is only those that we know of, right? So, so many people are, you know, still not feeling safe enough to be who they are. But yeah, there are just so many people. And yeah, we have made a lot of progress, but trans folks are still fighting for basic human rights for the community. And they're just facing an ongoing epidemic of violence, you know, in their community, especially against Black and brown trans women. So yeah, definitely want to just shine light and highlight more trans people and talk about the community more, learn more. You know, I'm constantly learning every day. And I think, you know, this is just our space for us to do the learning in real time and then also sharing what we've learned. So thanks for joining us on the ride. Wait, yeah. Go ahead.
Jenny, I actually, I just want to add into your bit of learning. Not everyone is born knowing. And then right. Sometimes we're raised in closed societies. But I feel like learning helps us build a channel of compassion.
Yeah.
I can't say I've always known a lot about trans people, but my first experience in building compassion for the trans community was in 2021 when I was listening to a podcast by Brené Brown, where she interviewed a trans personality, and I listened to the joy, I listened to the trauma, and I was like, how can you refuse to treat someone because of their gender? And this was my first experience with listening to actually an actual trans personality. And from that day onwards, I started to do research about the community and learn and understand. I'm not yet there, but like you said, it's all about learning.
Yeah. And I know I mention this all the time, but the podcast episode, The Urgent Care for Compassion with Alok, I will always point people to that podcast episode because they speak a lot about how do I say this? Have you listened to that one?
Not yet. Maybe share the link later.
I'll share it with you because it's one of the most powerful episodes that I've ever listened to, and I will continue to listen to it again and again because they just speak so truthfully and poetically about their perspective, you know, in navigating this world. And yeah, and I think I had mentioned it before, but one of the biggest themes in there was compassion versus comprehension. And Alok mentions that you don't need to have to understand to have compassion for me to exist. I think that was like such a, and I know I mentioned this in our previous episodes, but it's such a, and that's only one theme from that episode. It's so powerful. Yeah, I'm gonna bring it up every single time because it's so good.
Snaps.
It's so good. But yeah, and I also brought up disclosure before, but I think Disclosure is a documentary directed by Sam Fetter and made by a largely trans crew and Laverne Cox. And it follows an in-depth look at Hollywood's depiction of trans people and the impact of their stories on trans lives in American culture. So I think it's a really powerful documentary to just learn a little bit more if you haven't seen that. I did bring that up before in a previous episode, but I'm going to bring it up again. If you have not yet seen that, it's a great great documentary created by trans folks. Very powerful.
Representation is always powerful. So thanks for sharing those, the podcast reference and the documentary.
Yeah. And it's, yeah, representation is very important. But I think representation needs to happen, like, behind the camera. Those who are talking about the news, those who are, you know, doing the coverage, like, trans people need to be represented all throughout and not just on screen. That's where true representation will be, is if we have folks behind the camera telling the stories, you know. Yeah.
Agreed. 100% agreed. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Jenny, yeah. I have a question with you. Can you kind of like give us a brief background on how Trans Visibility Day came about?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So back in 2009, it was created by trans advocate Rachel Crandall. And she created this day in response to an overwhelming majority of media stories about trans people being focused on violence. So she hoped to create the day where people could refocus on celebrating the lives of trans people and empowering them to live authentically, while still acknowledging that due to discrimination, not every trans person can or wants to be visible. So that's why she created that back in 2009. And I know that you started with, you know, with some historical figures in the trans community, but I do have a few people that I want to highlight that I follow on Instagram, and you know, just wanted to give them a shout out. So the first person I want to highlight is Skylar Byler. I believe that's how you pronounce it, but I'm so sorry if I pronounce it wrong. Goes by he, him pronouns. Pink Manta Ray is their handle, and he's the first trans D1 NCAA men's athlete. He's half Korean. His content really amplifies the trans community by educating folks and breaking down like misrepresentation that the community receives. So his account is very informative and educational. If you want to learn a lot, I just watched one of his reels the other day about getting a pap smear. So as a trans man getting a pap smear, like, I don't think I've ever seen what that was like or that process or anyone talk about that. And to hear that, I think it just, you know, like you said, it just creates more of a channel for compassion and to like normalize that or to talk about that and allow for folks to talk about that openly, you know. That was really informative for me and educational, and yeah, I love his videos. He has a lot of videos. Second person I want to highlight, Meg Amico Lee, goes by they them pronouns. Handle is Meg Amico Art. They are an Asian American trans non-binary artist and activist, neurodivergent and pansexual. And one of the quotes that they have is, "My trans joy and my trans existence is resistance." I love their art. They create really cute, affirming queer art. They also create reels to address and respond to comments that may seem like ignorant or rude, but they educate us like based on the comments that they're getting. They approach it with such grace in teaching us about, you know, what we're curious about, or for a lot of people who are very rude and ignorant and are asking these like really rude questions, but they still are addressing the comment and educating us in just a real way. So,
Jenny, can you repeat their, I don't know what to call it. Is it a slogan or
their
personal statement?
Yeah, this was on one of the videos. It was a caption in one of the videos. It said, "My trans joy and my trans existence is resistance."
Powerful.
Yeah, I love it. And I love their Same. Art too. It's really cute. Okay, and then another person I follow, his name is Arrows Fitz. He, they pronouns. Content creator, handle is Angry Angry Arrows. And I've been watching this person because they are Jade Fox's friend. And they used to film videos together. And at the time, I believe he went by she, her pronouns, or she, they pronouns. And recently, transitioned, yeah, and now goes by Arrows. He's a trans artist and producer and runs this other account called What a Weekend. And I really like this account because it's they talk about events for Black and Brown queer folks every weekend. So every weekend you can go to this account and they'll be talking about different events in Los Angeles, New York, like all across the United States, I believe even globally. And just talks about like what's going on for the weekend for Black and Brown folks so that they can meet other people and attend these events. So
that's really great.
Yeah.
Having a channel where you share safe spaces or spaces of joy for Black and Brown people. That's commendable.
Absolutely. And then this last person I'm going to share is really popular, Patagonia. They, she, he pronouns. They're a drag queen, environmentalist, community organizer, building a more diverse outdoors and environmental movement. They're also the co-founder of the Outdoorist Oath, which is a nonprofit creating the future of outdoors through education and community for planet inclusion and adventure. Their content's really fun too. And, you know, for the outdoors, making it more inclusive. So yeah, those are just some of the people that I wanted to highlight and I am learning from in the past year or two. I'm still very new. I don't know too much about the trans community, but definitely researching more and, you know, trying to meet more trans folks.
Right. And I just want to highlight that the people or the trans community that Jenny just highlighted is on social media. And one of the things that I like about this particular media, especially when it comes to representation, is it just shows you how these people go about life just like you. Because, you know, they could either be educative, like one of the platforms, or just entertainment, or just basically sharing their lives. But having these people actually share on social media makes it relatable, but also mm-hmm. brings the reality of humanity to that face. To the face of the trans, like,
yeah,
you now look at this trans person. This is a loving, kind person, just like I am, and that's one of the beauty I feel, or that's the beauty, and that's also I want to mean very powerful. It's a very powerful media because it gives voice to just anybody. I mean, there's dangers to that, but like it being. Giving you a voice to be yourself authentically for others to see and put a human face to the trans community, I think, and give visibility, I feel is precious and beautiful. And just by the way, this is like my own thing. I find trans men absolutely good looking. I'm mm-hmm. like always, oh my God. I think they are so good looking. They are so beautiful. Immaculate. I just love trans men. Nothing Same. Against trans women. I just find trans men absolutely drop dead gorgeous.
highlighting a few people, talking a little bit about some history. What is your queerly noted for today?
My queerly noted for today is being transgender is a normal and valid variation of a human experience.
I love that. I'm gonna,
what's yours, Jenny?
I'm gonna take Meg's quote and say that trans joy and existence is resistance. So we're gonna keep talking about trans joy as much as we can, and trans existence, and we're gonna keep learning.
Mic drop. That's it today, folks.
Until next time. Bye. Love y'all.
Love ya.
If you want to support Queerly, follow, rate, and leave a review on the podcast platform of your choice.
We would love to hear from you. So please reach out to us at hi.queerly@gmail.com or follow us on Instagram at Queerly Community. That's QUEERLYQMUNITY. Love y'all.